Our second reading today is from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading the first chapter, verses 21 through 28. This is speaking about Jesus and his first disciples, whom he has just called. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? And he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Capernaum. It was a place close to Jesus' heart. It was where he went when he wanted to go home. Nazareth, actually, where he was raised, yet Matthew tells us that Jesus left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea. It was a fishing port on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum is where we are visiting today and where we have been discussing the scriptures as we've met in small groups this week. It is in Capernaum that the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touched Jesus' shawl and was healed. It was in Capernaum that four faithful friends let a paralyzed man down through the roof so Jesus could heal him. It was in the synagogue in Capernaum that there Jesus encountered disease of another kind and heals a man possessed with an unclean spirit. It is right across the street from the synagogue, which you can see today, even the remains of a third century synagogue based on the remains of a first century synagogue where Jesus actually visited. It was in that synagogue and across the street from it then that Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law from a fever. And then afterwards, Mark says, the whole city lined up at his door for healing. A lot of healing happened in Capernaum. How we long to experience the healing of Jesus in our own lives and in our community, as they did in Capernaum. It was very early in Jesus' ministry that he arrived in this town of about 1,000 to 2,000. And on the Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue and took advantage of the standing invitation that was open to any Jewish male. That was to go to the synagogue to stand up and to teach. Jesus began speaking. And right away, people knew that he was different. And then the scripture says, he astounded them with his authoritative approach. But then something happened that was more than astounding, it was amazing. A man with an unclean spirit somehow got into the building, a place where uncleanliness and disease was not allowed. And the man, or rather it was the spirit in him, recognized Jesus and confronted him with a shriek, "What have you to do with us?" Everything, it turns out. Jesus spoke harshly to the spirit or the demon, and with a convulsion, it came out of the man. How do we explain this story and what we now know about disease, physical disease, and mental illness? Well, first of all, let me say that we will not dismiss the reality of evil in our world and in our lives. We know that terrible things are done by individuals and by groups and nations that can only be explained by the power of evil and demonic forces. We should pray every day for evil to be banished and for the strength to stand up against it. But 2,000 years of scientific and medical discoveries also inform these stories of healing. In Jesus' day, there was no understanding of sickness caused by germs or viruses or heredity or environment like we have now. Sin, demons, and evil spirits were the explanation for many diseases. Epilepsy and seizures were hidden in symptoms that were scary and out of control. There was no knowledge of the causes of mental illness or addiction. Some ancient cultures even practiced trympany, which is cutting a hole in the skull of the person for purposes of letting out the evil spirits. They did what they thought was best with what they knew. Every century and civilization has its own understandings and primary health concerns. Follow Jesus around Capernaum and through Galilee, and you'll see him healing blindness, leprosy, and lameness, among others. Today, Jesus, walking around this community and this world, would be healing cancer, heart attacks, Ebola, bipolar disease, drug addiction, and alcohol addiction. Many things have changed now in our understanding of illness and what illnesses we see most often and the tools that we have for healing. But one thing has not changed, and that is God's desire to bring healing, be it spiritual, emotional, or mental, and physical, to all of creation. Nothing has or ever will change God's desire for us to be whole. Yesterday, an email came into my inbox from a fellow pastor, and she'd sent it out to across the conference. She was saying that just 1 week ago, she had a second cochlear implant. And she was thanking all those who knew about that for praying for her. This cochlear implant will enable her to hear in ways that she has not been able to hear before. What amazing ways God desires and makes possible our healing. Jesus' priority for healing has inspired followers to also be healers. Early in the life of the church that we now find in the book of James, there is this question answered among the community of faith. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. In the 1740s, the first Methodists renovated an old foundry where iron had been shaped and molded and was abandoned, renovated that foundry in London where the poor could be served. Every Friday, those who were sick came to the foundry to be treated and were provided basic medical care. Isn't that a wonderful legacy? Well, and then in 1747, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, published a book on, quote, easy and natural ways for curing most diseases. I'd like to read to you from it. It's full of great advice. Here's for bleeding at the nose. One option is to cure it, apply to the neck behind and on each side a cloth dipped in cold water. Or keep a little roll of white paper under the tongue. Okay, let's try a cold remedy. Drink a pint of cold water lying down in bed. Or a cold in the head. Pare very thin the yellow rind of an orange. Roll it up inside out and thrust a roll into each nostril. Try it and tell me if it works. Combined with what they knew about medicine and some common sense and some who knows what else, John Wesley cared about the health of the people around him. The healing miracles of Jesus have inspired the church to support the healing sciences as evidence of God's presence. We have founded hospitals and clinics in the United States and around the world. Doctors and nurses today are still called to be the hands and feet of Christ. Whenever there is healing and health, there is the presence of God. And we also say, when we come up against the inevitable limits to what modern medicine can do, there too is the presence of God. In the midst of all of this, we keep praying and doing our part to stay well and to get well. So before we leave Capernaum, let's go back to that synagogue one more time and notice that when the unclean spirit speaks to Jesus, it uses plural pronouns. What have you to do with us? What have you to do with us? Who was it speaking for? Multiple demons? Or was it speaking for itself and the man in whom it had taken up residence? Speak for yourself, Jesus could have said, but with clear authority, he goes even further. Be silent and come out of him. Speaking only to the Spirit, Jesus draws the line. It is also a message to the man. You are not your demon. You are not your disease. You are a human being. In fact, you are a beloved child of God. Johann Hari has written an article about the causes of addiction, including this line, addiction is not you. Addiction is your cage. And this may be our power over demons in our lives. We have the key to that cage. Those demons are not us. We are not them. They do not control who we are. Cancer does not define who we are. Depression is not our middle name. Evil has been conquered. Be silent. Be gone. Is this where healing begins? I think it is, with that key. The key of understanding and believing that God desires our healing, that God loves us as individual, gifted, called, beloved children. And God sees beyond our afflictions and loves us for who we are, and so can we. We are not defined by our illnesses and our diseases. We don't know what happened to the man in our story in the synagogue. I can picture him going out and going back to his shop, setting up his shop and being excited about life once again. Or walking the streets of Capernaum with confidence and sharing his amazing story. And what a story his and ours will be.